church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for making us part of your morning again this morning. I want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we are looking at the Word of God today. We're actually talking about the Ten Commandments, which were delivered by God, handwritten by God, to Moses, who delivered them to the nation of Israel and to the rest of humanity. And so we're looking at those Ten Commandments today that have been delivered to us, because walking in obedience to the Ten Commandments will make our life better. You know, a lot of people get fixated on that word commandment and think, why is he trying to make me do something that I don't want to do? I want to encourage you to look at it from the other perspective, that God is giving these commandments to us because they will improve the quality of life. They will improve our testimony. They will improve our influence throughout our society. So with that being said, that tells you where we're going to go today. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And want to invite you out. We will be resuming our Wednesday night services tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. And want to invite you out. Our adult Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Our youth service begins at 7 p.m. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So, I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we have a missionary that is going to be with us. And so come and hear one of our missionaries. That'll begin at 6:30 on Sunday evening. And we're gonna dive back into the Word right now. So if you are at Deuteronomy chapter 5, I want to take you to verse number 6, and we're going to read through these Ten Commandments that were delivered to Moses at the same time that the children of Israel were down there blowing it big time, and Moses was fasting and praying and spending time with God. The children of Israel were sinning big time. So verse number 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And so those were the Ten Commandments, you will not only find them in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but you will find them in Exodus chapter 20. So today we are going to look at commandment number 3. Commandment number 3. And in verse number 11, it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So what does that mean? Does it have any modern implications for us? And so we're gonna dive into that a little bit today and see if we can't discover some real life applications and make sure that we are representing God and his name well. So I looked, first of all, let me just say this, that at one point in time, we had a piano at the church, and it was beyond our capabilities. It needed repairs that we didn't have anybody to know how to make it. It was constantly needing tuning. And so what we decided was we would put it up for sale. It was a very old grand piano, baby grand piano. And so we put it up for sale, and a person came to the church and looked at the piano. And I was in the office that day. I was studying for a sermon. I had my Bible program opened up on the computer, and as this guy was looking at the piano, he decided he didn't want it, but he was very interested in my Bible program, and he looked at a word and he said, "Well, what is that word?" And it was the word for the Lord in the Old Testament. And I told him what that word was, and he let me know that of his political or his Jewish heritage, and he said, "We don't pronounce that name. Nobody pronounces that name. We do not want to mispronounce the name and bring insult to God." And so I learned something that day, and that there were people who take this commandment so seriously that they will not even approach pronouncing the name of God. So they would substitute a word, Adonai, and that way they would not disrespect the name of the Lord. So for them, it was a very high standard. It was of utmost seriousness to them. And the reason is, it says, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So I want to look at that a little bit. That word to take, it means to lift or to bear up or to take up the name. It means that we identify as people being in covenant with the Lord. For Christians, that means that we identify as being redeemed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when people call us Christians, that word was used to describe the early church by non-Christians. They said, y'all speak, you act, you love like Jesus did. And they saw a similarity to the name of the anointed one. That's what that word Christ means. It means the anointed one. And they said, we see Jesus in you. So the word Christian was a word that was delegated to believers by unbelievers because they did not see a disconnect between believers and Christ's behavior. They saw that there was a direct connection between the two. And so they were not taking the name in vain. They were saying, "Look, we represent Jesus. We represent Jesus when we worship. We represent Jesus when we do business. We represent Jesus in our homes and in our workplaces. We want to identify ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ." So you and I, we need to realize what it means that when we're taking up that name, that it is supposed to have pervasive ramifications in our lives. It's the way we do business is going to be affected. The way that we talk, everything about us ought to scream Jesus. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So it goes on and it says that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And so that word vain means desolating, evil, destructive, morally ruined or in deception, idolatrous, uselessness, or in vain. So there, if we're going to take up the name of the Lord, it cannot be just a desolate or abandoned or unoccupied assumption of that name. We need to realize that when we ask Jesus to come in, he's going to come and take up residence, and we're going to be his house. We're going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to know that over the past, I'm going to say week, I have twice found references to Assemblies of God churches of significant size, of significant influence in the community, and they were representing Jesus wonderfully. So I want you to know you're not going to hear me criticizing mega churches. You're not going to hear me criticizing small churches. I want you to know that there are people who are loving Jesus, and they just have the capabilities of doing some different things. Small churches have giftings that big churches do not have. And big churches are able to do some incredible things that small churches just can't do. It's not about the size. It is about who are we representing. And so I saw a couple of Assemblies of God ministers who were down, and they were evaluating the crisis at the border. They were wanting to make sure that the women and the children that are down there on the border were being taken care of in a humane and responsible way. And I know one of them. I know one of them personally. And the other one I know of, and he has a huge impact. And they said, look, we heard some reports. We wanted to just come down here, and we wanted to see for ourselves. And if things were not right, they were going to let everybody know about it. Okay? And so I was exceptionally thrilled about that. Even though those churches, some of those pastors that I saw, they're not even, first of all, they're not in that geographic region. Not all of them are pastors of Hispanic heritage. Some of them are, some of them aren't. They just have a heart for people of all backgrounds. And so I was extremely thrilled to see them representing Jesus well. And then I noticed another one, and none of these people were identified as Assemblies of God ministers, but there was another church, and I know this person's name. We served in the same district many, many, many moons ago, and that his church had come together and wiped out the medical debt of nearly 2,000 impoverished people in their community, 2,000 people, and they eliminated, I believe, nearly $2 million worth of debt, medical debt, that those people were not ever going to have the money to pay, and that was going to wait over them for the rest of their life. And this church said, we want to come in, and we want to alleviate that burden. And they didn't. The church didn't know their names. They just said, this is the parameters. These are the guidelines. And they had to go to the hospital and say, tell us how many of these people and tell us what it would take to get you to wipe out, cancel their debt. That is representing Jesus well. You and I, we are not just to represent Jesus inside the four walls of the church, but outside the walls of the church as well. And so we need to make sure that people know Jesus is not just the person on that whose name is on my lips, but Jesus is the God who's living in my heart, and I'm not going to bring evil. I'm not going to represent him in a destructive manner. I'm not going to bring a morally devastating accusation against him because I'm not representing him well. So I told the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God one time, we ended up standing right next to one another, and I said, one of my goals in life is to not be on the 6 o'clock news for all of the wrong reasons. I don't want you to see me making headlines for any of the wrong reasons. Not because I was breaking any laws. I want to represent Jesus well. If you see me on the news, and I have been on the news a couple of years ago, I want it to be because I'm doing what I can to touch this community with the love of Jesus Christ. And so when Hurricane Matthew, I think it was, when it came through and water access was cut off to the beaches, our little congregation of 50 people rallied around. Listeners to the radio program, I got to meet you during that time. And people came and volunteered and helped and unloaded trucks and distributed supplies throughout the community. And, you know, that may be one of my most jubilant moments, even though it was one of the most exhausting moments in our 27 years, almost 27 years, that we have been operating as a pastor, as a Emeritus Assembly of God. It also talks about this in vain, is do not take his name in deception. There were people who would say, thus says the Lord. The Bible talks about this, that people would go out and say, thus says the Lord, only God said he had not sent them, he had not given them that message, and he was not the source of the communication that they were speaking. As an angel of the Lord is a messenger of the Lord, so a minister of the gospel is supposed to bring the word that has come from the throne of grace for a specific group of people. That is what my responsibility is, not to bring my opinion, not to bring someone else's opinion, but to bring that fresh word from God that is necessary for you and I to live the way that we're supposed to be. There are other people that would take up the name of the Lord in an idolatrous manner. They would almost use it as a way for themselves to be worshiped. Listen, I am not to be placed on a pedestal. One of the things that you will see in the Word of God is whenever an angel of the Lord comes, and people would be impressed by the size, they would be impressed by the glory. Many times they would fall at his feet as though dead, and the angel every time would say, "No, no, 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 no! You don't worship me. Get up. There's only one that you worship, and that is the Lord our God." There's a couple of other ways that this could be, that the name of the Lord could be taken in vain. One is to speak evil of, blaspheme. That's what that means, is to speak evil of. And so we cannot represent him in such a way that people are going to speak evil about God's name. We're supposed to represent him well. So when Job is experiencing his affliction, his heartache, he begins to say some things against God. And God says, God shows up in the latter part of the book of Job, and he says, okay, now I've got some questions for you. I've let you ask your questions of me. I've got some questions for you. Where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did this? And Job says, I spoke, but boy, was I uninformed. And whenever a person begins to lambast God, complain against God, one of the things that I do is say, you need to be very careful about the way that you are taking the Lord's name right now, because you don't want him showing up and saying, okay, it's my turn now. I've got some questions for you. And the truth of the matter is, God always has an answer for our questions. We, like Job, will be held by our own remorse and say, you know what, I spoke, but I was uninformed. So don't take the name of the Lord in a useless manner. Okay? In a useless manner. When we take the name of the Lord, when we use the name of the Lord, it is supposed to be for kingdom business. It is supposed to be for impact. It is supposed to be for transformation. And so you and I need to represent that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There's powerful things that are taking place in the spiritual realm right now. The heavenlies are forcefully advancing because God is a God that's on the move. Over 7 billion people on the planet, and they all have one hope for salvation, and his name is Jesus. So let's not take the name of the Lord in a spirit of uselessness or in vain. So there is a phrase that is extremely popular, and it's simply abbreviated with three letters of the alphabet, O-M-G. O-M-G. Now, I just want to tell you for myself, that's not a phrase that I use. I don't use those abbreviated letters. I don't use what those letters represent. I just don't do them. There is another phrase that is popular for people to use in a profane sense that are represented by two letters, the first of which is G, and that is an abbreviated sense for what people believe that God is going to do with that situation. It has to do with condemnation. And that's a phrase that I don't use. I don't want anyone experiencing an eternal separation from God. And so I don't want to use God as the means in which I express my frustration, my failure, my anger, or anything like that. Am I saying that you don't use it? I'm not going to lay the law down. I'm just here to tell you I don't do it. I know other people who do. I'm not here to judge them. I'm just here to say, you know what? I don't want that to be a stumbling block for somebody else. Now, why don't we take the name of the Lord in vain? It says that the person who does that, verse number 11, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That means that person's not going to be acquitted. Instead of being found innocent, they are going to be found guilty. They are not going to be clean. They are going to be recognized as a spiritual condition that prevents them from coming into the presence of God at that point in time. That they are not going to be protected. They're not going to be walking under the protection of the Lord our God. Instead, they are going to find themselves outside that umbrella of protection in a position of vulnerability. As a person who's been in that place of vulnerability, I don't recommend it. The devil will take advantage of you in a heartbeat. It talks about, again, these are the definitions in the concordance, that the person will be uprooted, that they will be completely destroyed, and they will not go unpunished. They will experience correction. They will experience discipline. And with that being said, thank God for the forgiveness that is available for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so that we can continue to use our mouth from a corrupted heart, but from a forgiven heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need to appreciate the price that Jesus paid. Listen, the Bible says in the New Testament that we are going to give an account for every word, every idle word that proceeds from the mouth, from our mouths. And I view that as a word that doesn't proceed from my faith. I want to speak faith-filled words. I want to speak faith-fueled words. And I want to speak faithful words. And so if you find yourself in a situation where people are taking the Lord's name in a manner which you aren't doing it, you know, don't be there to condemn them. I have a number of people that I'm a pastor. They start automatically replaying all of the words that they have spoken, and they realize that they may have said a few things along the way that they wish they hadn't said. And many times they will apologize if they've said something, then they find out I'm a pastor. Sometimes they say that knowing I'm a pastor, and then something, I'm sorry. I say, look, you know, I appreciate that, but please understand, God is the one who is really the one who you have to give an account to. And so I want to ask you today, as we are wrapping up on today's program, do your words represent the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life? They may not have always. Thank God that there is forgiveness that is available for us at that point in time. And with that forgiveness, ask God, God, would you change my heart so that when I speak, my mouth represents the fact that you have spoken forgiveness into my life, and that you are manifesting the evidence of a faithful relationship that we have together. That's what we've got for today on this Tuesday edition of the Refresh Radio program. We pray that you will have a wonderfully blessed day, that you will go forth and speak words of life, words of faith, and words of peace. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Joyful noise, the Lord, all of the earth.